Good morning, everyone. So on a humid July afternoon, there was a young law student who got caught in a rainstorm. Like so many summer storms, the rain started out innocently enough, just a drizzle, and it got bigger and bigger until it was pouring buckets. The young man ran faster and faster, trying to make it home before the thunder and the lightning started. He did not make it. Boom! With a crashing blow, a lightning bolt came down, slamming into the ground. And the terrified law student was knocked to the ground, and on his knees, he was scared out of his mind of God. How in the world could a sinner like him ever please this all-perfect God? He was terrified out of his mind, and he did something very rash. He prayed, "Saint Anne, help me. I will become a monk." Eventually, the storm died down. The buzzing in his ears from the electricity diminished, and his hair stopped sticking straight up. But young Martin Luther had just made a promise to God, Saint Anne too, that he was going to become a monk. That lightning bolt, that bolt from the blue, was the first flash of the Protestant Reformation. There had long been rumblings of change in the church, but the noise was only distant thunder until Martin Luther came around. The church had lost its way. It was emphasizing law above the mercy and the love and the grace of God. People feared the Almighty. People dreaded the Almighty. Christian people hated the Almighty, including young Martin Luther. The Christian church was dying on the inside, because people completely lost the point of church, that God's grace is big enough to save you, that God's grace is big enough to save me. Today is Reformation Sunday. This is the Sunday that we remember that we are spiritual descendants of Martin Luther, who said, "Grace, give me grace. I need grace, not just another bunch of rules." 500 years ago, on Halloween Day, they didn't really call it that in Germany then, but on October 31st, 1517, 500 years from Tuesday, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the church door of Wittenberg. That was actually an okay thing to do. It was kind of like the community bulletin board, to nail something up onto the church front door in those days. 95 complaints about how the church was not living up to the grace that God called it to. While we mourn the loss of Christian unity that followed the Protestant Reformation, we are encouraged that God's grace is once again the center of the Christian church. Like a lightning bolt that struck and destroyed this beautiful but tragically flawed stained glass window, the Reformation split the church into a million colorful pieces. The shattered glass that remains may be sharp sometimes, it may be ugly sometimes, but the Reformation brought us back to the most important lesson of all, that we are saved by grace through faith alone. And the love of God, the love of Jesus, makes that heap of broken glass still sparkle and shine, and it is beautiful. Not because of what we made, but because the grace of God can make anything shine. Today we turn to Romans chapter 3. What Martin Luther called the center and the kernel of the entire Bible. This is the story of how we are saved by grace through faith alone. Hear this good news. Let it sink in. Let it change your life the way it changed Martin Luther's life. Hear this good news. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced. And the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No! Because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So before Martin Luther became a monk, he studied the law. Martin Luther traded one legalism for another. Young Martin used to spend 6 hours a day confessing to God, trying to remember every time he was a little bit proud, every time he was a little bit angry, every time he was a little bit lustful, every thought, every emotion he tried to apologize to God for. 6 hours of his day thinking about, what did I do wrong? You think Martin had a little bit of a problem? Martin had a spiritual problem. And it's exaggerated. It's grotesque. But maybe it's not so different from all the guilt you heap on yourself. All the times you feel like you're imperfect, you don't belong, you've done wrong. Martin Luther said, "I was a good monk and kept my order so strictly that if ever a monk could get into heaven by monastic discipline, I was that monk. All my companions in the monastery would confirm this, and yet my conscience would not give me certainty. But I always doubted and said, 'You didn't do that right. You weren't contrite enough. You left that out of your confession.'" Martin Luther was unable to love God. Even in the monastery, Martin Luther hated God. Luther saw God as a tyrant, an unforgiving judge who never lets go of our mistakes. It was this letter to the Romans that Paul wrote that saved Martin's soul. When he got to chapter 3, when he started to really read and study and teach chapter 3 to a bunch of young monks, it suddenly dawned on them that, whoa, hold on now. We are not saved by doing all the right things. We are not saved because we obeyed the law in just the right way. We are saved by faith and grace alone. If you believe in Jesus, you are covered by his grace, so that no matter how badly you mess up in this world, you are good with God. No one is saved because they did all the right things. Anyone who puts their faith in Jesus will be saved by mercy, not self-justification. God, the Almighty Judge, has dropped his gavel. He has declared, yeah, we are all guilty, but not one of us has ever fulfilled the law. But before punishment could ever be delivered, the judge leaves his bench of honor. The judge takes off his judge robe and declares, I got this. I will take care of the punishment for you. For you see, God, the Almighty Judge, has given us Jesus Christ, who took on the punishment for us, covering our sins, making us right with our God, so that we might be free from the power of sin, so that we might be free from the power of death. We have not been good enough to save ourselves. We cannot be good enough to save ourselves. But God has been good enough to save the whole wide world with his love. Jesus showed us on the cross that the mercy of God and the justice of God belong together. And the cost of our sin has been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to live in terror of God. We do not need to fear the Almighty. We have been set free to embrace our Abba Father, this God who is called love, because of this mercy and grace given to us by Jesus Christ. Martin Luther is important. 500 years later, because he reminded us that all of our hard work will never bring us into a proper relationship with God. We will never be justified by what we do. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And Luther teaches us that we are saved by grace through faith. And that message that changed the world 500 years ago is still the message that the world needs to hear today. What was the center of the Bible? What was the kernel of the Bible remains. You need to know that you are saved, not because you did all the right things, but because God loves you. And what's more, your neighbor, your friend, your son, your daughter, your grandchildren, they need to hear this too. The message of salvation that saved Martin Luther is the same message of salvation that everyone needs to hear, that you're not going to earn anything with God, but that by grace alone, you can be saved, you will be saved, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the Covenant Church, we're the Covenant Church, Bethany Covenant Church. Our denomination was founded 132 years ago because there are some Swedish Lutherans back in the State Church of Sweden that said, whoa, church needs to be reformed again. The Swedes at that time, they were Christians. They went to church, but they didn't read their Bibles. They didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They missed out on the grace of God, and suddenly these people were opening up their Bibles, just like Martin Luther, and going, whoa, wait a minute. It's not about what we do. It's about this grace that we were given. And so we broke away from the Swedish church to become something different. And today, the Covenant Church has about 840 congregations in the U.S. and Canada, about 250,000 members in those two places. We're operating on five different continents. It's a multi-ethnic church. It's not just Swedes. Thank be to God. Spoken as a Swede. Thank be to God. I don't want to go to a church where everyone has the same background as me. Multi-ethnic church, growing in racial diversity, slowly growing in racial righteousness. And what unites us is this gospel message that keeps reforming the church and keeps us reforming into the grace of God. That we are willing to change, we are willing to adapt, we are willing to do what it takes to live into this grace of Jesus. In that spirit of continual reformation or reformation, Bethany Covenant Church invited the congregation to participate in the Pulse Congregational Survey this summer. What is that? It was kind of like an assessment tool. It's kind of like going to the doctor. You know, when you go to the doctor, they put you on the scale. It's like, uh-oh. And they take your pulse. Uh-oh, for some of us. And you go, oh, so that's the truth of the matter. Now it's time to change. Well, the Pulse Congregational Survey is kind of like that for churches, where instead of measuring our weight, instead of measuring our other vital signs, it measures the health and the congregational, the missional vitality of the church. 273 people at church participated in the survey. Raise your hand if you participated in the survey. Thank you for doing that. You're representing the whole congregation today, by the way. Thank you for doing that. The test results are in, and the data is very, very informative. According to you, the greatest strength at Bethany Covenant Church is spiritual vitality. People report that they are experiencing a life-transforming walk with Jesus here at Bethany Covenant Church. What that means is you're experiencing the grace of God coming alive in you. According to the Pulse survey, people agree that my church helps me sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. People also agree that my church has helped me to make positive changes in my walk with Christ in the previous year. The strongest positive responses came from these two questions. Prayer is a significant part of the life of Bethany Covenant Church, and I am experiencing more joy in Christ by being a part of Bethany Covenant Church. The good news is that people are getting a taste of this grace of Jesus, and it's changing who they are here at Bethany Covenant Church. You know what the best part about this survey data was for me? The part that got me most excited? The people who had the highest response in this category of life-transforming walk with Jesus. Any guesses as to what age group? Who was the highest reporter? People who were age 12 to 21 gave the highest response to a life-transforming walk with Jesus. You have no idea how happy that makes me. Thank God for Pastor Britterberger. Thank God for the youth leaders that meet with our kids all the time. Thank God for the moms and the dads that are raising their kids in the ways of the Lord. Thank God for who you are. By the way, if you're 12 to 21, I want some of that life-transforming walk with Jesus in the membership of this church. I need that. I need you to be leaders in this church, not just part of this church, okay? I'm really pleased by this. This is wonderful news that something very right is going on here. I was talking at Wednesday night with one of the youth leaders, and she told me that kids feel welcome and safe at Bethany Covenant Church. And when that happens, lives are changed with the gospel. We get them in the door, and their lives are changed with the gospel, right? Amen? That's good news. That's good news. But that's what's happening inside the walls of this church. Which brings us to our greatest growth area, according to the Pulse survey data. And that's what happens outside the walls of Bethany Covenant Church. We are really good at offering the grace of Jesus to anyone who shows up inside these doors. But what you tell me in the Pulse data is that we need to do a better job with outreach and evangelism. According to the Pulse survey, we are pretty good at praying for unsaved friends to meet Christ. I want to make sure you hear what an important task that is. Good evangelism always begins with prayer first. Good job on that. You're laying the groundwork for the future. Keep praying. But it doesn't end there. People were less positive that my church is helping me to share the gospel clearly and boldly. I'm sorry about that. I'm repenting of that right now. I'm trying really hard right now to get you to share the gospel clearly and boldly with your friends, with your neighbors, with your family. This is essential, friends. Our weakest responses were these. I am building relationships with people who need to know the Lord. And I do not hear of people coming to know Christ through the ministries of our church. The Pulse survey data is clear. We need to do a better job of bringing this grace that we have experienced inside the walls of this church, outside the walls of the church, into our friend groups, into our families, in our neighborhoods. The church consultants who administered the survey for us were quick to remind us that intentional evangelism is a common growth area throughout our denomination and throughout the Christian church right now. Evangelism really means sharing the good news. It's a good word, but it's got a bad reputation right now, okay? When people hear that word evangelism, they get really, really nervous about it. And that's funny because evangelism is having a bit of a moment in the larger culture. Every technology company these days employs a chief evangelist. This is true. Who mobilizes their customers to voluntarily market their product. Anyone here have an Apple computer or an iPhone? Yeah, you're pointing at Mom. Yeah, that's good. You ever tell anyone what a great phone you have? What a great computer you have? And why it is so much better than those PCs? I'm looking at one person in particular. There's some Apple fans in this congregation, right? We love Apple. In fact, one of the reasons why they're so successful as a company is that they're getting people, their customers, to do the sales work for them. It's such a vastly superior product that people are like, yeah, I want to tell people the good news of Steve Jobs. Oops. Why are we more enthusiastic about a stupid smartphone than we are with the message of salvation that promises eternal life, that changes who you are right now? Our world is full of evangelists, Nike evangelists and Adidas evangelists, Chipotle evangelists and Panera evangelists. Panera. The issue is not that we don't do evangelism. The issue is we're more interested in talking about our phones than talking about the message of salvation that we say is the center and the kernel of our lives, that we are saved by grace through faith alone. This is not a guilt trip, by the way. I'm talking about grace today. I'm not talking about guilt trips today. I don't want to make you feel bad. I just want to point out the obvious, that what you care about the most, you're going to talk about the most. And we have a little bit of a problem. We are talking more about other stuff than we're talking about the salvation message of Jesus Christ. I am not suggesting today that we go back to the tired evangelism strategies of the 1950s and the 1980s. The world has changed. The church needs a fresh approach to telling the old, old stories of Jesus and his love. People want to hear the good news from a friend, not someone knocking on their door. People want to hear an authentic message of Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear some story about how you met Jesus and you never sinned again. People want to know the good, the bad, and the ugly. What we call the authentic gospel coming alive in you. People still want to hear the good news. How many people do you know that are just suffering because they can't let go of the bad things that they've done? People want to hear the good news. They just don't want us to be rude about it. And let's confess, we have been rude sometimes. People need the gospel message just as much as the Apostle Paul did before he wrote Romans, just as much as Martin Luther did 500 years ago, just as much as people did when they started this little Swedish church almost 100 years ago, just as much as I did, just as much as you did when you became a Christian. That need never changes. But we've got to find a fresh, authentic, personal, loving way to help people understand you can be set free from all that guilt, all that shame, all that legalism that was heaped on you when you were a little kid. Grace still stirs the soul. Grace still brings us home to God the Father Almighty. How are we going to communicate that? In a fresh way. In a loving way. In a polite way. In today's world. I'm happy to be the chief evangelist. I want you to hear that I share my faith, not just when I'm up in front of people, but in other places. But if I'm the one that does evangelism, we're not going to get a lot of people coming to Christ here. A couple a year, maybe, tops, if I'm really being faithful, if God's really honoring my best efforts. But if all 300 people who are here right now commit themselves to participating with the Holy Spirit and helping their friends take one step closer to Jesus Christ, this community can change. Maybe not in a day, maybe not in a year, but in a decade or more, this community can discover that they are not going to be saved because they did all the right things. They're going to be saved because God's grace is big enough for them. The Pulse survey data reveals to us that Bethany Covenant Church is ripe for reformation today. On the one hand, people are experiencing a life-transforming walk with Jesus Christ inside these walls, and we also acknowledge, yep, we are failing to bring that life-transforming walk of Jesus Christ outside these walls. These are your words, your responses, not me just saying stuff. The reformation we need around here is to get the good news of Jesus Christ out of this building. Wow, you know, I really wish I got an amen on that one because I need that. I'm sorry. Don't leave me hanging. Thank you. I'm going to try again, though. The reformation of Bethany Covenant Church that we need desperately is to get the good news of Jesus Christ outside this building. Amen. Amen indeed. If you've experienced any grace here at Bethany Covenant Church, if you've experienced any grace in reading the good news of Jesus Christ, if you've experienced any grace in your life where you're able to let go of the old legalisms and accept God's love that changes who you are, make sure to pass it on to your children, your grandchildren, your friends, and your neighbors. Let's make sure that you are not lonely in heaven, but the people that you actually spent your life with in this world join you in the next. Amen.